Well, g'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by Mazda, 60 years in the making. It's the Mazda 60th landmark event. Secure a landmark deal on Mazda BT50 4x4 dual cab XT. Celebrate at your Mazda dealer or visit mazda.com.au. Today on the show, we take a little bit of a look back at the trade period and cast our eyes forward to the teams we're most excited about next year. If you haven't followed us on Twitter or Instagram, please do that at Hardball Gets AFL. Make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Tell your friends, leave a rating, leave a review. All right, let's get stuck in. Well, this is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rin, joined, as always, by Xavier Ellis. Xavier, how you going, mate?
Going very well, mate. Slight little wire crossing from you and myself. I was sitting at work with a studio booked, ready to do a little chat. At 12 o'clock, turns out we were doing it in my house.
I was in the car in me singlet and shorts. Not quite sure that'd be up to scratch.
Yeah, no, so having a couple of single fins.
Yes.
Of which, if we're at work, they'd be paying for them. So I'm the loser out of all of this.
Trade period was this year, it was a fizzer.
It was horrible. And I don't want to talk down these players, but I thought it was always going to be a bit of a fizzer. If Joe Danaher's leading the way.
Yeah, a bloke who hasn't played.
With media and you know, Papley, good player, but, good piece, where, but yeah. Would he be 10th best player in Richmond?
If he was on Pat.
Yeah, I mean, so we're not arguing about Dustin Martin.
No, we're not. This isn't Buddy going to Sydney.
Or Tom Lynch is moving. So I thought that, you know, Tim Kelly won, but that's been in the works for 2 years. He's only played footy for 2 years.
And everyone knew it was happening.
So I think that was just an easy one to get out of the way. But, yeah, I just don't think we're actually even dealing with the type of talent as opposed to deals not being done.
No, and it just felt like this is the first time where I previously felt like it's been a long trade period, but this thought it was excruciating.
Do you think... And credit to is it Hutchie's Mob that does AFL?
So they Croc Media run
Trade Radio.
That's where it comes. Like it's a catch 22 because Trade Radio. The numbers came out and it blew all the other years out of the water.
No, 100% understand why. But everyone was sitting there waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
Whereas you know, for mine, in terms of enjoyment of the product, knowing what the end result was, a 2 hour a day rap would have had me tuning in for the whole 2 hours intently, what's going on, whereas it was probably a little bit more background noise this year for me.
Yeah, I felt that. And there, I think even on the first day, like there weren't too many crosses to the press conferences happening at Marvel. Like,
it was weird,
just
felt,
like going around in circles a bit.
Yeah, no, it was just... There's a reason why in America where they deal with like free agents and stuff...
They don't do a 24-hour radio show.
For 7 days or eight days, 9 days, 10 days, whatever it is. And they deal with the megastars.
Yeah.
You love just getting half an hour snippets on SportsCenter, and then they do the last day or whatever it is, which was interesting always. But yeah, I just felt like we're probably, thrown. It's like you've been, here's a 5-bedroom mansion, but it's 4 hours out of the city inland. The actual idea and the concept was great, but it's just
it was a long way to get there.
The product wasn't great in the end.
The other thing, which, I mean, the AFL are in on it too to an extent, because we know on the last day, like a rumour was going around and then it was confirmed by people coming in and out of Marvel Stadium that the AFL weren't allowing anyone to lodge paperwork until 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Why was that?
They just wanted it all to happen in like prime time.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird. So the Tim Kelly stuff officially hadn't gone through.
No, you could lodge, like, I mean, if you did it the day before, you could lodge the paperwork, but just for that deadline day, they wanted...
I thought everyone was stacking their files and then...
No, you could have lodged paperwork on other days. It was just that last one. I don't think they had anyone sitting in the chair until 3 p.m.
What about player managers?
Getting on camera? Yeah.
It's just smacky behaviour, isn't it?
I mean, nobody knew Nathan Freeman, that former Collingwood and Saints player, was training to be a player manager until that day, because Paul Connors wheeled him out in front of every camera.
100%.
And said, what's he doing there? Oh, he's a player manager.
I don't know. I think they're a bit of a waste, but anyway.
Yeah, you have your thoughts on player managers, though.
Yeah. I just think they serve a purpose for maybe 6 or 7 of the top players.
Yeah.
That's about it. Player development managers at the footy clubs do all the heavy lifting in terms of finding houses and all that sort of stuff these days. Yeah, I'd rather hire a barrister.
Just to tick off the paperwork.
Do your contract, yeah. Mm. That's probably about it, really. For the players, 10 to 44 or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, top 3, 4% of the ones dealing with all the inquiries.
Endorsements
and
stuff, yeah.
Need someone to handle that, but...
Even though, who was like some big dogs? I remember who I thought were big dogs. And I was like, mate, can you get me a pair of shoes from Nike or whoever it was? Yeah. They're like, oh, mate, my spend's $2,000.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
I'm like, what? I thought you had the keys to the bloody Nike factory. Yeah. That's just my opinion.
Well, what Todd, you spend at Light and Easy, did you know?
Actually, I hit Light and Easy up the other day. I mentioned it on air.
Yeah.
Light and Easy. And I got a message from asking whether I should try Light and Easy before my wedding.
Oh, really?
And I got a message on Insta. I didn't write back to the lady. I probably should. Saying they want to supply me for a week free of Light and Easy to give them a try out.
There you go. And if you mention them towards the end of the week, do they give you another week?
Well, it's funny. Yeah, I'll ramp it right up. Yeah. I might have free Light and Easy for the rest of my life. I just drop them in there once a week.
You and Hodgie can go out for dinner and just forego the restaurant stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Bring it yourself. So what are the other... I think at the end of trade period as well, there's a... Still, like certain areas of the media where there's a bit of a lack of understanding about the value of things.
What do you mean?
Well, Peter Bell at Frio's made headlines 2 years now. 2 years he's been in the role.
Mm-hmm.
This one, he got smashed for walking away from pick six.
Yeah.
And there's some doubt. Well, they were trying to throw some doubt on whether the offer was pick six and a future second rounder.
Yeah.
But we think that's likely what was on the table, pick six and a future second. Yeah. So walking away from that, yeah, okay, that's bad. But then by the end of it, they turned it into pick 10, Blake Akers, a future second, a third rounder, and a future fourth rounder, which...
Is that what they got?
Yeah.
Was there anything given back?
I think a future third.
Yeah, so the thirds wipe each other out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So basically they got 10, a future second, future fourth, and Blake Akers.
Is it you big on Blake Akers?
No, but just... Overall, that package is better than pick six and a future second.
Is it?
You slid four spots and you got a player.
Do you know what I went through? Pick. I went through the pick sixes versus pick tens.
Oh, really?
Yep. Actually did it on the day that they rejected it.
What was it? So what did you come up with?
Oh, it's funny. Actually, coincidentally, I just picked a year. Maybe it might have been 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Picked that year, went forward. Pick sixes were a lot better.
Yep.
Was Joe Danaher her father's son?
Yes.
So he was pick 10.
Yeah.
So that was a father-son pick. Anyway, pick sixes were much better. A lot of pick tens were already out of the game. So like,
yeah, right.
Nate picked. So I think Freeman might have even been a pick 10.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But the year I chose, just coincidentally, to start the year before was Paddy Dangerfield at pick 10. But yeah, no, pick sixes were the better. Like Jacko McRae and those guys were pick six. But at pick tens, there was some ordinaries in there. But then there was also some... good ones like the Lizard at Sydney.
That's another father's son.
Yeah, so it's a little bit skewed, but there was an argument that pick six was better than pick 10.
Yeah, but I think overall in the whole package of thing, like you ended up getting the better deal.
I just don't understand the point system stuff. You know, pick one's valued at 3,000 points and pick two and 12 and 29 is 2,999 points. And
yeah.
I don't get that. Like...
I don't know 100% either. Yeah. I normally rely on the Hurling People Now guys who run hpnfooty.com.
Yeah.
They're professional statistical guys who just do this on the side where they developed a system, they nicknamed it the Papley system, where it just rates people like the potential of
yeah.
a pick, like based on everyone who's been picked there before and what they've delivered over their careers.
Yeah. So I just find rating a draft pick and I get... In theory, pick one is meant to be your best player in the draft through to pick 90 or whatever there is.
Yeah.
The worst.
But it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't, which I find it like people going, well, we've just traded from pick 10 down to pick 21 and 23, which gives us 4,068 points.
You're your recruiting's no good. Your recruiting's
just
no
land
good.
A player.
Yeah.
You know, so for example, pick three when I was drafted, say that's worth 100 points.
Yep.
And pick four would be worth 90 points.
Mm-hmm.
Pick four was Josh Kennedy. So what are you going to do with your points there?
Yeah.
Your point stuff's ridiculous.
I understand the value to it and I believe a little bit. The point stuff I don't dive too far into.
No.
I just picked a system that I like and that's what I kind of go.
Yeah, but also I think you look at it as a list manager and go, all right, if I've got pick 10, I want an A grader out, a 200 gamer.
Yep.
From that.
Yep.
With my future second, if I desperately want a 150 gamer, a life member.
Okay.
Would be great. You know, like that's the way I'd look what I'd be trading from. The value of what you, the best case scenario you'd be happy with. So, you know, pick six, I'm like, that's...
You want 200, you're, 150, 200 games.
All Australian.
Yeah.
That, whereas if it's a second rounder, which you've dropped, you've picked up along the way, like I'd love to get a life member. 150 yep. games, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just my theory on it all.
Yeah, I mean... It's,
rather than valuing what the draft pick's worth,
yep.
value what that position is in terms of a career that you'd like. You'd be content with. Yeah. You know, pick 60 or 70. I mean, if you can keep them on the list for 5 years, they've yeah, obviously play played role. 30 games, 40 yeah, games. Yeah. You've probably won that draft spot.
And then, but then it comes out, some of the longer playing players in the league come in at pick 60, 50 to 60.
Yeah, which you've absolutely yeah. blown it out of the park.
Yeah.
That's,
Lachie Neale was pick, he was right in that sort of range, 50, 60 or something.
Oh, yeah, there's heaps of stories. Yeah, there's plenty around. I love those stories about who missed the draft, who was a rookie, who, so the rookies, there's something about Richmond winning the flag and rookies. Three players from the one rookie draft.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they nailed it.
Players.
Yeah, they nailed one rookie draft.
Rookie draft, three of them.
And I think someone was, I can't remember who the other club was. Maybe it was Carlton. They floated that Carlton had seven picks before they get.
If seven pick one, two, six, yeah. and five. Yeah, and yeah, then, yeah. yeah, no, that was, I was really surprised by that. The rookie draft.
One of the clubs I'd liked, they didn't do much, but I quite like what they did, was North Melbourne, which is weird. Yeah. Apparently they had. All the word coming out of there was that they had no staff and Reece Shaw just had to run the show by himself.
Which, so I think Michael McMahon's there. Brady Rawlings
isn't allowed to join
not
yet.
Not there, but there.
But yeah.
You'd say.
He'd probably have a few conversations.
I'm sure that you've got your same team of 10. Your coach says yes or no to the player.
Yeah.
And also I love how some players are so much highly rated at other clubs because they've absolutely pounded them in a game before. Like,
Yeah.
Oh, gee, where's this bloke's on the market? Oh, okay, he's not a bad player. And then you hear like, oh, we played against him 2 years ago. He kicked four and had 30. Like, oh, no wonder you think he's pretty bloody good. Who'd they pick up?
So they got Aiden Boner, which is Boner. I keep saying Boner.
I tweeted something after the finish of the trade week or trade whatever. And I'm sorry, the trade period was an absolute floppy. And someone wrote underneath, I'm trying to think off the top of my head who it was. Someone wrote, at least North Melbourne got themselves a boner. And I was like, not bad. Not bad.
So they brought him in for Peanuts, future third. Kind of fits where they are because I think we all see now that North Melbourne have got some good young talent.
We'll add four rising stars.
Yeah, they've got enough so they like can that. Start to like, it needs to come bottom up. They need to start to build from there. So he's a first round pick in his third year.
Brett Spriggs got Spriggsy put that out there.
Yeah, nice. First round pick playing in his third year. Stalled a bit at GWS. Liked what he did at league level, but just
did you?
As like a third tall.
Yeah,
I liked him as that role. When okay. He came in. He
well, didn't they, get the many North shots. Melbourne need a third. Well, Ben Brown's obviously the steadfast.
Yeah, but he can come in. He's one of those ones who can swap between that and the mid, so he just wasn't getting in the midfield at GWS because you're not.
Yeah, and whereas at North, you're going to get a chance to go over.
You're going to get a chance in there. And there's also the question of how much players develop in the NEAFL.
Yeah, that's a good point. They don't, they do. But yeah, obviously smashing sides and a bit of a shit show.
Yeah.
But I think also some players, I think he's the perfect blend, whereas you look at Tim Kelly and go, I reckon you had it as good as it's ever going to be for you at Geelong.
Yeah.
You were the man. They desperately wanted to keep you. They were doing everything they possibly could to keep you.
Yeah.
Now you're in the West Coast. You're not going anywhere for 5 or 6 years, whatever is the sign. Whereas you look at those who probably just need a little leg up.
Yeah.
You know, pat on the back, a bit of excitement about him being here. You know, before all of a sudden you're like, Bonner was a pick 9, did you say?
No, his first round pick. I think he was like 11.
Whatever he was. You know, a bit of, he's obviously got some talent. Let's pile into him, see what we can get out. Like, he gets a bit of love again.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're stuck in the NEAFL, doing the graveyard shift, flying to bloody Darwin and or Brisbane.
Every conversation is like, we really rate what you're doing. Like, you just got to keep fighting, keep battling away.
The old Kyle Cheney hit, we used to call it.
Oh, really?
He'd walk out of a meeting with Clarko. Because Clarko loved Cheney. He was just like a ripping guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, what was that about, Bock? just a hit meeting, mate. Hang in there. But what more can you say? You're trying your ass out and you just get told to hang in there.
But yeah, if you get someone come along like a trade, you know, they're willing to, they see something
in you.
Yeah. So I think it'd be, he has the potential to be a really good piece for them in a young side. So this is not going to, they're not going to do much next year.
Nah.
They might be around the same mark. You know, might have a couple of really good weeks.
And wouldn't even surprise they went down a little bit, to be honest. They got that spike when Scott moved on. They got that nice little spike and then sort of drifted, then lifted. And wouldn't be surprised if they were maybe a little bit worse, but the kids will take, because there's going to be a changing of the guard a little bit where it's like, I'm trying to think of a player off the top of my head. I don't know. A midfielder, young midfielder will go, you're now probably going to be hit to. Sean Higgins is 32.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, Sean Higgins is the better player, but all of a sudden you're time-sharing.
Like a Davies Uniacke and say, mate, we're going to give you the chance.
Yep, you're in there and you're going to play 10 games, get your hands and knees dirty. Here you go. Not look after him, but you're not hit to every time.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, that's when the older players become the leaders or whatnot.
Yeah.
They sacrifice. This year, about all the time, an older bloke sacrificing their game for a kid. But that happens, and they might actually go back.
A couple of steps.
Yeah, a couple of steps to go forward.
Yeah.
A handful.
So he'll come in there. The other thing they did was they grabbed Melbourne's first-round pick for next year.
Yeah.
So they gave away pick 8, got a second-rounder and a third-rounder for free, basically.
Yeah.
And Melbourne are probably going to be trash again.
Yeah.
Hard to tell, but I think trash.
Oh, I'm thinking trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've picked up a couple of players.
Yeah, it's not going to wow, is it?
Oh, they'll be better than second bottom?
Second bottom, yeah.
Yeah, equal bottom if they didn't kick that goal on the siren against Gold Coast. They'll be better than that, but it's funny when you hear people say that Melbourne potentially they've had that. This year was the anomaly.
Like the Geelong year before they became dominant.
Where I look at it and go, I think the year before the prelim was.
Yeah, that was more of an anomaly.
Yes.
Yeah, people figured it out pretty quickly.
Yep.
So that's one to watch. If they come in at pick 8, they're going to want to hope they'd be better than.
Yeah, no, that's a good move.
Good move for North Melbourne.
Why would Melbourne do that?
I do not know. I don't know who they're targeting. Like.
Is there a father-son next year or something they need to get rid of their first-round draft pick for points or something?
Yeah, potentially. They haven't looked into it that much. It just on paper reads
on paper for the, bad for the supporter, Demons. Which is, you know, we're just supporters. We look there and go, doesn't add up too much. But anyway.
Let's see if they get draft some father-son superstar for next year. They'll be geniuses.
Oh, we don't have a first-round pick. We have to take him at 60.
Until then, they're basically the Carlton of this year where everyone's looking at him. just going, come on. Melbourne fans are desperately watching Melbourne's fortunes.
How they went from getting pick one almost to pick God knows what.
Yeah.
They
got 3. Adelaide got, which is now 4.
Yeah, but trading, delisting Brendan Bolton. Just stitched Adelaide up. They were cruising for a top.
Not that Adelaide. I didn't even write anything in about Adelaide, but geez, I don't think it's like kicking someone where they're down. That just looks shocking.
100%.
Everybody's leaving. There's that bloke on. There's some bloke on Twitter who came at us trying to convince us that Adelaide just didn't want to keep those 10 guys who were leaving.
No, I somewhat understood what he was saying, that he wanted to keep them.
But they didn't want to give them what they wanted.
But not their price. And Adelaide have always been steadfast in, and they pay unders. Well, everyone plays.
Pay what they think they're worth.
And that's why they've lost players in the past.
Yeah.
So I understand, but the trend was too much.
Yeah, that, when you know, 10 blokes or 10
saying,
blokes
I'm pretty keen to move out. Yeah. But yeah, I understand. You're not going to try and keep Greenwood.
No. Ellis Yeoman.
Ellis Yeoman. They've been around forever. I think I added them up. I think they paid something like 60 games between them or something like that. It was bugger all. And you think, asking for 3-year contracts. So I have to see why they're saying, I'll drive you to the airport. Yeah, we're not giving that.
Question I wanted to ask you is, so Saints brought in Hill, Jones, Dougal Howard, Paddy Ryder.
Mm-hmm. And there's one more.
Yeah, who was it? Butler.
Yep.
Do you think they get much better next year?
Yep.
You think that does?
I think naturally they do.
Yeah, okay.
I think Dan Hannanbury, and I'll... I'll ride till I die with Dan Hannabury.
Broke his foot again.
Yeah, and over here in Perth, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, at his sister's place. Yeah. Stumbled on a chair, out of step or something.
Oh, I missed that.
I think they're going to be better with Jack Stephen gone.
Yep.
That clears the air for...
You're not constantly looking out of the corner of your eye thinking Jack Stephen's going to come back.
Yeah, well, it's no longer plan B. Yeah. You know, plan A is with Jack Stephen. Is he back? What's happening? Mental health, all that sort of stuff. He's not in your plan. So gone. All of a sudden, you've got a new plan. And away, I think their midfield's not too bad. You got Brad Hill.
Billings.
Seb Ross, who won another best and fairest.
Yep.
I'd love to see Zach Jones go through there.
Yeah.
But they've got players, buddy.
Rowan.
Yeah, they've got, I'm probably missing a few, but I think they've got a couple, enough there to go, your midfield's not weak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's
it it's, can stand up now. You've got a bit more polish on top of what was.
You'd assume it's going to stand up.
Mm.
And don't forget, we saw, we thought that Jack Stephen was pregnant on return.
Yeah.
Dan Hannabury wasn't pregnant at all. No, but like it wasn't in his best condition. So I'm under the assumption that they'll be okay.
Yeah. Brad Hill's the winner out of that. Zach Jones can be a big winner if he sort of lives up to what we think he can do. The others are just kind of plugging holes.
We'll give him Marshall a chop out in the ruck.
Yeah.
For a year, I can sort of half see that.
Dougal Howard became a...
Well, I do. Dougal Howard.
All-Australian during that period.
I was talking to a Port Adelaide player.
Yep.
About it, and he didn't go into detail, but was just... at the end of the year, was told, look, if you want, not knowing that...
everybody wanted
it. It's like having a painting on the wall that you assume is a fake painting, and then you put it up on the open market for a cheap price. Everyone's like, that's an original. it was like, I don't think they realized what they had in terms of interest from around town, but all of a sudden...
Super hot, super quick.
It's funny, like... they don't grow on trees. Would he be 200 centimetres, maybe a fraction shorter?
Yeah, but moves like quite big. Well, doesn't he? Yeah.
Moves incredibly well. And this is from the player. Lightning quick. You've actually just piled in your development years into him. For now, someone to reap the rewards. It's just didn't make sense. And you Port's defence. Think about Port's defence.
Oh, God.
Like Jonas.
Yeah.
You know, they're all just...
There's no superstars.
No, Hamish Hartless down there, he's getting old off knees. Jonas is getting older. It's not like you've got a core of, Burn Jones.
Oh, yeah, Dustin Burn Jones.
Good young player, so he's young, but it's not like there's a whole stack that you can think of the top of your head.
Yeah.
Young youth stars. So I thought that Dougal Howard was probably a...
showed the most potential out of
Yeah, I'll probably, yeah. yeah. And one of those ones where Port might have, Arthur or Martha.
Yeah.
He wanted to be defender. And I think that, we'll sometimes
around a bit.
Good for him is he's going to be locked down in defence.
Yeah. He probably realised too when they said, just go see what, test the open market.
Yeah.
And he went and everyone went, you're a star, mate. He's like,
do you think
star.
I'm a forward? If you think I'm a forward, I'm not interested. If you think I'm a defender, I'm interested. All of a sudden, there's 17 other clubs. Yeah, so we're interested.
Yeah, you're a defender. We're quite happy to play you there, mate.
Don't get me wrong. Kicking or skills or whatever, I haven't seen enough to know what he's like. But those defenders, they don't need to be megastars with the football. They're often the highest rating kicks in the team because they just chip it 15 metres lateral to someone who can kick it.
Mm.
So Aaron McKenzie, he was a tremendous defender at West Coast.
Could not kick.
But just did his job. He didn't want to kick. Like he just beat his opponent with speed, fitness, aggression. And he was a bloody megastar. He won the best and fairest over Matt Prittis, he won the Brownlow. Just his ability. And that's all you need in a key defender. You don't need someone with 4,000 different tricks.
I mean, the ultimate example is... a bloke who was St Kilda's best player of the finals the year they made a grand final, Zach Dawson.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I think he was under instructions never to kick.
Well, Trent Crowe was similar. He could go on the stage where he couldn't kick, just loved handballing it to the little whippets. Yeah. Loved it.
Someone will run around.
Job done.
Yeah, I'm done. I've done my job. So what we wanted to do was pick the trades or the players that you think will have the biggest immediate impact on a club. So who are you covered with first?
Well, we half sort of just spoke about this player, Zach Jones.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Number one, you got to go pound for pound a little bit too. Yep. Like, it'd be easy to say Brad Hill, 900,000.
You expect
him to play like a $900,000 player. So all of a sudden, Brad Hill needs to play like...
Yep.
Paddy Cripps. Is he 900?
On 900, yeah, it depends. I can't remember when he did his contract.
Yeah,
if it was a few years ago, it'd be 900.
You know, Yo, Shuey, Kelly, none of them are on 900.
No, they wouldn't be on 900.
So, like, you've got to play in that category as an outside winger.
Yep.
Which is hard. So, he's a good player.
I mean, there'll be a year of Nat Fife Steel where he's on 900.
Yeah, after he's pulled in 1.5 here and there. But,
yeah.
So, Zach Jones.
Would Buddy be on 900 or less these days?
Yeah, Bud's on 900. I think it's almost spread over 9. So, Zach Jones is 24. I thought last year he had a tremendous season. And again, Sydney's a little bit like, as I think we've spoken about in this podcast before, if Bud's not playing, I'm a little bit like...
Yeah, don't need to watch.
Meh. But I do enjoy what the Swans were doing. So, they traded Jones, 56, and a future fourth for 32.76 and a future third. So, pretend they go up around... next year, and they go down one this year. So effectively 32.
Cheap.
I think 24, he's right in his wheelhouse, and I reckon he is going to be a player that now he's in Melbourne.
Yep.
People see what he can do. He's no longer, that Zach Jones, that's...
Nathan Jones' brother, yeah.
That's bloody Nathan Jones' brother, isn't it? I think that's all completely and utterly gone. In his season just gone, it was extremely underrated, I thought, from my vantage point. Averaged 23 disposals, kicked it well. Yeah. Off the half back, he's as tough as nails. Turnovers were relatively high for him. But I just reckon he's a player that I just reckon we've slept on a bit.
Yeah, okay.
You taking that?
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm a big Zach Jones fan.
Hey,
I'm a big Zach Jones fan.
Oh, good, good.
I think if they put him in the middle and sort of let him go, he could be very good for them.
We could even find a wing and stuff. Yeah. Like, because he can run. Those Jones boys can run, I assume. Well, Nath could buddy run. Yeah. He was like a triathlete back in the day. So, Zach Jones is my leader.
Yeah, I like that. So, the obvious one for me, is Tim Kelly. Eagles win the flag if he plays. Everyone, they get a bit of spark back and add Tim Kelly to that mix, they win the flag.
Yep.
But the one I kind of like, it's actually two, but it's one club.
Yep.
Two moves that they made is Ellison Greenwood at Gold Coast.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that because it's just blokes who are competent.
Always going to play.
Yeah.
Will try hard.
And on their day, can play... almost like a match-winning cameos on their day.
I hate Greenwood.
Really?
Since he walked out on the Wildcats.
Oh, mate, here's a story. Do you know what happened that morning?
No, what happened?
So I sat down with him for a big feature interview, my first one going to be on Channel 7.
Oh!
Sat down in the chair with him. He was talking about how much he loved the Wildcats.
Yeah.
And he wanted to play forever. And before he came over to do the interview, he was on his phone like for ages and looking real worried. And Wade, the Wildcats media manager, was like going to get him. He said, "Oh, mate, he's been a bit weird. Don't, we'll get him."
You're nervous. You're sweating.
Here's my debut.
Yeah.
Sit down. We do the big interview. Love the Wildcats. You know, this is all I'm excited about. And then I go to a gig that night. And halfway through, I get a text from Wade. Be like, "Man, I'm so sorry." I was just like,
"And Wade's the media manager at the Wildcats."
I was like, "What? What the hell's happened?
What's happened?"
First, I thought like
you've stuffed something up.
Or no, I'll just like you know. Well, he was talking a lot about his mum's battles and everything.
Cancer
I thought
and stuff,
it might have
yeah.
been
yep.
bad news in the family. And then, he's like, "Oh, nah, he's just bailed on us to go play AFL." I said, "What?
Did it go to air?"
No, because it was getting ready for that weekend. So the story is still sitting there on the shelf sometime.
Oh, yeah, no.
Just completely ruined my debut your TV appearance.
Did you do one after?
I did. I went to Halls Creek and did a big thing with Sam O'Seaton for it picked up.
Sam which was Seaton, much better. Pick six.
Sam Seaton, pick six. Who was pick 10 that year? Big Harry Mackay, wasn't it?
No, I reckon Harry was the year after. Well, they're both the same club.
Yeah. But it's not beyond Carlton to have a bunch of first round
picks. Yeah, I was going to say, probably. Yeah.
That's my Hugh Greenwood story.
There you go.
And I've also never liked him since.
Bastard.
That was who he was on the phone to his manager before he sat down for the interview, apparently.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, but...
No, I agree.
I like what he'll bring to Gold Coast. Just, I see guys like Ainsworth and I want them to have a better crack at it, which they will.
Yeah.
When you've got guys like Ellison Greenwood who we know can do stuff who will worry other clubs. At the moment, there's not too many worrying in the midfield.
Oh, you're not going to worry about them, but they're B graders who are going to just go to work.
You're just going to just know that you kind of have to, like, there's yeah. people.
Well, I don't think they want any limelight or no. any. Exactly. They don't want to win best and fairest. Yeah. They don't want that, you know. They're not the boom recruit. They're just solid citizens who are going to go up and potentially just be solid citizens.
And that is kind of what, that's the GWS model almost, where they got all the kids, flushed the place with kids and some veterans who they knew were going to retire. And then when they did, they brought in those sort of role guys.
Yeah,
and just keep flushing them through.
A few role players. Yeah.
So like, you know, Heath Shaw, when he's on the outer at Collingwood, comes to GWS and just...
And I'm not comparing Heath Shaw's career to like Greenwood.
No. He was much better, but he looked... When he came to GWS, he looked like he was almost done.
Needed a change. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Reinvigorated him, bringing in a good player. And there's others. You know, they've done the same with Matt DeBoer. Matt DeBoer looked like he was done.
I reckon Matt DeBoer's a good example.
Yeah, in just terms of someone who can play the role. Stuff.
Yep.
Let the people with like the serious natural talent just go
take
to work.
Over. Yeah.
Say, don't worry, I'll do the rest for you.
Yeah, no, I agree. The Brandon Ellis story was a big article. Do you know, are you familiar with his story?
Oh, yeah. He sort of raised in public housing and a lot of...
which I think there was an article. My little brother was telling me over grand final week about Brandon Ellis' story because I was a little bit like, what's he taking this money and it was already agreed with? Just won another premiership. And grew up in commission housing. And I don't want to quote the story because I didn't read it. I heard it secondhand and his father was crook, I think. But you look at him and rough run and you look at him saying this is an opportunity for me, family, dad or whatever. And I just thought, bloody good on you. You've won two flags.
Yeah.
You were a whipping boy at Richmond for a period of time. And I still remember Damien Hardwick going, what was the change in Brandon Ellis? Because I always thought he was a good goer. But then he got omitted a few times.
Yeah.
And Damien Hardwick said, I stopped looking at things that Brandon Ellis couldn't do. And started to notice the 9 things out of 10 he could do. Yeah. And you can, it's just the dog scratching. Don't worry about that. And before you go, you just close your eyes to the 10% of the things that annoy you and you appreciate the 90% that you think are good.
Yeah.
And away he went again.
Put him in the side. Yeah, he's... I think one of the things he noted, I think it was in that book. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. It was about like a behind-the-scenes Richmond book, was when he... stood up and told everyone his story at the club and then sort of that unleashed his best form because he didn't have to like, he wasn't worried about hiding stuff.
And
feeling ashamed of things.
A little bit like that, yeah. No, it was a bloody, apparently, when, and I don't know if my little brother, he's had a few beers, whether he was adding a bloody bit of mayonnaise to everything. Yeah. it was a good story, really good story.
Did you see Brad Hill on Instagram? I think there was a post about him leaving to go to St Kilda and some nuffy had written on it like obviously putting money over premierships. he saw it and responded. He's like, hey, man, I got 3.
And Fremantle aren't really
we're not going to get there quite that short soon. 3 clubs you're most excited about.
Can I add one more?
Year? Yeah, go 4.
Jack Stephen. No, no.
As the biggest impact.
Jack
like
Stephen.
It.
4 best and fairest. If he can get his health, mental health, and family stuff, and whatever was going on, in order, it's going to be hard because not for his health to get better, but to compare his football at the age of 27. I think he's 29 now, so he missed a chunk of 20. So he still was prime time. Yep. He's had a year off. His very best is Tim Kelly best.
Yeah.
So if Jack Stephen goes back to being Jack Stephen. Geelong next year, you can't put a line through him again.
Well, he's a great run and carry player, isn't he?
He's got spark and spunk. It looks like he's not moving.
Can kick goals.
Waddling like a duck, can't be lifting his feet, but he moves. A game changer. If he's going, then it's, do you tag Jack or do you... He was tagged a lot of the time at St Kilda. He 4 best and fairest.
He would love it when you're someone who's been tagged every week. And you go to a club where you're 4th.
Yeah, whereas I think his best would be up Dangerfield. And I'm Jack Stephen a bit biased because I've seen a few games that he is absolutely destroyed.
Yeah.
Jack Stephen, Danger Jack Stephen. And on
really,
his day.
Really, he's number 2 there.
Christ, yes. Yeah. Yep.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, he's got to lose 10 kilos, and that's not ever short. He's probably got to lose 10 kilos.
Yep.
And learn to run again and stuff. But his best football was so good. Four best and fairest. There's no one at West Coast with four. There's no one. Fife, is Fife one?
Three. Yeah.
Four, it's bloody consistent football at a high level.
Dane Zorko, I think, the only one running around with four.
Is he a four or three?
I think he's got four.
Does he? Four. Okay. There you go.
I like, yeah, no, I am interested to see what Jack Stephen does. It's not like whether, I mean, you know how well he can play, but just see how well he does play.
Whether he finds it.
Yeah, that's, I think that's going to be one of the more intriguing things. See if he can be the one to help Geelong get over the line, because how frustrated would you be? I mean, you know Geelong. You got a few mates at Geelong. So you'd be pretty frustrated. I mean, you've probably got a couple of player premiership medals hanging around. You're not that worried, but.
Yeah. I reckon, for example, Joel, he won a premiership at 18?
Yeah, his first year.
20?
Yeah.
22. He's going to be 32 next year, 10 years.
Yeah.
You reckon you're working hard, obviously. I don't want to downplay the start of his career.
Yeah.
But it was, footy's been easy for him for a long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He came in, dominated, won flags. He's now had 10 years of hustle, getting bashed.
Yeah.
Trying to get a team on the park, trying to get the help of the list.
Yep.
Working his backside off as captain.
400 meetings a year.
The appreciation of winning a flag compared to what he was when he was probably 22, his last one. Yeah. You can't compare what a flag would mean at this age as opposed to winning one first, later is much different than winning one early when you don't really appreciate what's happening.
Wow, yeah. I can't see him cracking through, but they just get so close every year that eventually one's going to happen.
Yeah, but just not forget they'll 3 goals up or 21 points up against Richmond at halftime in a prelim.
Yeah, true. And we all and falling Blitzabs over ourselves to say how good Richmond are and how they're firing. Yeah, and Blitzabs
missed a goal from 20 out to go up even more.
And they had Jenkins, so they have another forward if Hawke misses a final.
Yeah.
Because they played, I mean, I think, did they? No, I might be thinking, I can't remember if they delisted Lockie Henderson.
No, Henderson played.
Yeah, no, but I think since the season, which...
Oh, I don't know.
He's on the outer anyway.
Yeah, 100%.
And he was just a pinch hitter. They haven't played him forward in God knows how long. And
he hadn't kicked a goal in 3 years or something.
They just needed to fill the hole.
Yeah, no.
Jenkins goes in and fills the hole. And he could play, like, at his best, he can play every week.
I reckon the Lockie Henderson throw at the stumps was a late idea.
Yeah, well, I think they're probably like, oh, it's finals, Hawke gets off. And then he didn't. And they had to figure out what the hell they were going to do.
Yeah, no, I think, Jenkins is, I think I wouldn't be surprised if they just thought Jenkins was a go the day of picking him up.
Oh, yeah. That's, Paddy said, my mates had a go. Yeah. My mates on the outer and they were like, oh, well, tall forward, sure.
We'll pay half, you pay half.
Yeah.
He's still earning 600 or 700 or whatever.
Yeah, you'd be pretty happy.
Bloody oath.
Three teams you're most excited about next year. Do you want to go 1-1-1-1?
Yep. I reckon we probably doubled up. Well, I'm going to go with one I don't reckon you're going to have.
Okay.
The Adelaide Crows.
Really? Excited about?
I'm excited to watch them play. Nothing to do with where they finish.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, how the hell they get out of this.
Well, so many players put their hand up and rumoured to want to leave. Mm-hmm. But they've kept Laird. They've kept the Crouch brothers.
Sloane's still running through there.
But like, the amount of disharmony that spiked its ugly head again.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, the players who probably, Tex Walker's no longer captain. Eddie Betts is gone. The disharmony that was sort of after the review. I just think after a major review just sparks excitement.
Yeah.
What's changed? Who these players have stayed that were disgruntled? Are they going to be flat still? Or have they sort of had a kiss and make up session?
Yeah.
The Crouch boys, all rumoured to have wanted to leave. They're the last two best and fairest. It was such an ugly show that I'm excited, not by them potentially winning the flag, just excited to see whether it just self-implodes again or whether Pikey leaving, new coach.
New footy manager, new fitness coach,
whether that just says, all right, 2019 or 2020.
Yep.
2019 end of preseason, 2020 season, it's just a new era.
Well, they're one of those clubs, aren't they, that never out of it for too long?
Yes.
Like they're never going to be languishing at the bottom of the ladder. They're never really poor, are they? Big, strong club, lots of money, lots of support.
Well, they are, yeah. They're like a West Coast over here. Yes. They're the Adelaide Crows of that. Sort of Sydney Swans of Sydney.
No one in Queensland.
Yeah, but the Lions can find a little bit when they're going.
Yeah, but it'd tell you that then they sit at the bottom of the ladder for 10 years.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I was a bit shocked at first, but I can see what you're saying.
Now you're excited. I can see you smiling.
Well, I'm probably not going to watch them a lot, but
all right, hey,
but I've got less time these days. You know, I can't watch all the games. I really want to see AFL.com.au did it for a few games. I think during finals, and I basically want that for every game. They made like a mini match. It was like 15 minutes. They condensed the whole game into 15 minutes. I think that's perfect.
I can't. I need to watch it all.
You need to watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
See, where do you get the time?
Oh, you just find time, mate.
Yeah, okay. First one for me is Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, see, I knew you were going to pick them.
Well, you got them as well?
Yeah, of course I got them because I knew you were going to have them.
Well, they finished so strong. They had Dunkley make a leap, Norton make a leap, give them another year. Bailey Smith, second year.
My boy.
Your boy, Bailey Smith. Yeah. Rising star in our hearts.
Yeah, he's robbed.
Not in the real world. Yeah.
Not robbed.
His second year's always tough, but he looks like very competent. I wouldn't put past him just doing the same thing he did this year.
Well, he's still going to be Dunkley.
Yeah.
Bont.
Yep.
McRae.
Yeah. Good start.
Hunter. He's always going to be the fifth beetle, isn't he?
Yeah, so he'll have room to grow.
Yeah.
Add Bruce, add Keith, like two positions that they needed a little bit of help with. It just looks really well-rounded.
So what's Keith?
He's centre half back. But I think you don't think he could play the lockdown role, do you?
I don't think he does.
I think he can, though.
Talia's always been that one.
Yeah.
And so, does it well every week.
So you think that him and Easton Wood are trying to play the same role?
I think so.
See, I think he can lock it down. I think he'll be able to.
Time will tell.
I mean, he's one of those blokes who came back. You figured that would be the first thing. Coming back from another sport, not playing footy for so long, that you would go start at fundamentals, and then all just happened to be that he was really good at that role as well.
I saw him play one night on Hawkins lockdown.
No good.
At Adelaide.
Hawkins is a hard man to lock down on, though. He is enormous.
Yeah, good point. No, I think he showed in that, was it like a 10-week window, that he was a very good drop-off player.
Yeah.
Very good. He was, you know, in the Australian conversation. But I just think that he's very similar to Easton Wood. And maybe they just play at a team defence where... But who's going to do the full gorillas?
Well, that's a good question. That's yet to be seen, isn't it? Mm. I mean, they lost a couple of key defenders and they tried to turn into rucks in Jordan Roughhead.
Yeah.
Joel Hamling, they only discovered 3 weeks or 4 weeks before they won a premiership.
Marcus Adams?
Yeah, and he's gone now.
So yeah, I just don't see him wrestling gorillas. Good pickup, but I just don't think that's exactly what they needed.
Still works though. Him at one end, Bruce at the other. Like it just adds.
Absolutely. No, good pickup, good player.
Yeah,
adds another layer, but I can still see them losing a final because
someone gets
Tom Lynch
on the leash.
Kicks eight.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, but I was going to say that could be said of any club, but some of them just have really great lockdowns.
Yeah.
So maybe they still need a really great lockdown.
Phil Davis had full
yeah.
Not grand final Phil Davis. No, that was ridiculous, whatever was going on. Yeah, Phil Davis had a big bag kicked on him, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Tom Barras, I think, is a good player. I'd be surprised. You know, he played with broken bloody tendon and whatever for a while there. So he was but like Joel Hamley, I'd be surprised if someone kicked a bag on him. There's players I'd be surprised, and I wouldn't be surprised if bags were kicked against Bulldogs, but I see them top six.
Yeah. Easy. One of those ones, if they won the flag, you wouldn't be shocked.
Yep.
Because they got the best player in the competition, Marcus Bontempelli. Who's your next?
Now, I'm going to be accused of being biased here.
Which one is this? Is one or two?
Which one do you think?
Are you going to say West Coast?
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you got West Coast?
Nah.
I'm just excited by their midfield. There's no way to go around it.
No.
It's been a while since we saw three mids at their I'd say four. Put Gaff in there, being a wingman. Mm-hmm. He needs to get out from playing inside.
Yeah.
That I've seen enough of that.
Yes.
Just go to the wing, kick it nicely, all that sort of stuff. And Gaffey, I think, as a wingman, as you saw prior to his incident with Andrew Brayshaw, I think he's the best wingman in the comp.
Yeah, that was that was one of the better years I've seen from a wing in a long time.
Prime Gaff was brilliant. So I can't remember, and you think we got all a bit aroused by Selwood, Dangerfield, Ablett, but Ablett was old.
Yep.
So it wasn't really peak of the powers. Shuey, Yo, Kelly, Gaff is right in the spot. And you put Nick Nat in there.
Well, that's what I see. If Nick Nat's fit the whole year.
And you Dom Sheet and Jack Redden. And so they're good little backup pieces. But I'm just that core of all Australians, Shuey, Yo, Kelly, Gaff, Nick, that for mine, if you just – and West Coast are very good at – Luke Shuey couldn't care if he was hit two 40 times or 10 times in a game. He just does his thing. Mm. Win, go home.
If Luke Shuey was a more selfish player, he'd be a five-time All-Australian.
I think it's almost too jam-packed because – Redo will play. Jack Redden will play. Yep. Dom Sheet will play. Mark Hutchins maybe if they're tagging. I'd love to see Elliot Yo off halfback.
Yeah?
They just had no spunk down the back line this year. It was chip sideways, chip laterally.
That was a problem.
No, Jetta was the only one who took it on.
Yeah.
I can just see Yo on halfback.
Just crushing
guys. Heading to goals. Yeah. Bouncing, using it beautifully. I mean, I don't know how you sell it to him.
No, but something does have to give. You're right.
I think one has to.
Someone
and I think
get spat out.
I think Yo off half back would be.
You'd rather spit him out on half back than half forward, wouldn't you?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think those players probably suit maybe Shuey.
Well, I was thinking like a Kelly would start a half forward, but then it's like I think you're not using Kelly enough.
No.
The other blokes, it's the same. Like
you put Redden 3 years ago, 3 seasons ago, tried to play higher forward.
Yeah.
Dropped in and out. Played midfield the year after when the premiership was finished second in the best and fairest.
Yeah, Matt Pritis' last year where they tried to make him a half forward.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
This was yuck.
I mean, half back, he's got speed, power.
Yep. Knows the role, kick. Played the role before.
I think he would be by far the best halfbacker in the game.
Mm.
It's just whether you can sell a bloke who's won two best and fairest as a midfielder to go away from where you love getting your kicks. Anyway.
Yeah. I'd agree. Also looking forward to West Coast. I think that's the best midfield, and that's a club that's had some good midfields, but I think if they all get out and play to the best they've had.
Just give us 10 games of full strength.
Yeah. Yeah, Nick Nat doing exactly what he needs to do and everyone else just firing. And then what do? You can't do anything.
No.
It's just going to be – well, that was – it was – down back and up forward where it fell down a bit last year.
Forward, I reckon, is an issue.
Josh Kennedy getting a bit older.
Oh, I'm not actually that worried about JK. So he still kicked 50.
Yeah, he didn't have a...
No. Missed pre-season, played with the actual flu, not a cold. Yeah. Then had tonsillitis, which killed him. Had a foot injury. I think we've still got one more year of not prime JK.
But 40 to 50 goals.
I reckon north of 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. if he trains... And he's fit, north of 50, no dramas.
Okay.
But then you take away, no Willie.
Yep.
How's that going to affect Liam Ryan? Because all of a sudden he's now got the best shutdown.
Yep.
You've got Jack Darling. So if JK say I'm wrong about JK or he's injured, is Jack Darling your number one forward? Or all of a sudden he gets the number one defender? Is that going to play? Jamie Cripps, I don't have too many Jamie Crippses. Fit, runs, plays, sacrifices your game. If you lose, I just think if they lose one small medium forward,
they're a bit stuffed.
I think that's probably the spot they can't. They're pretty thin in.
Okay. Well, I'm not too worried about them. Right. Overall, I'm not too worried about them.
Yeah, okay.
I'll chuck up one, which is a little bit. It's just a little bit of a. Not quite a nuffy pick, but it's a personal one. It's Gold Coast.
Okay.
Two words.
No, if you say Rankine, I'm done.
I take Rankine. He's coming back. We'll finally get to see him play footy. But overall, that is one of my bigger ones to watch Gold Coast next year. But overall, I actually think they're going to improve faster than people think.
Well, someone we haven't spoken about, Jack Martin.
Yeah, don't know what happens there. Oh. I would love to see Gold Coast pick him.
Same. 100%. They've got money. Yep. If he cracks the shits, just whatever.
You're like, fine, mate, you don't walk.
Yeah. I actually quite enjoyed that they flexed.
Yeah, because they weren't offering a bad deal. I think it was Carlton basically slid back about six picks and Gold Coast threw another pick into the mix.
Yeah.
Like, it was quite a – from the sounds of things, it was
– So whose side are you saying the deal was
– I think the deal was almost favouring Carlton.
What, I think it was favouring Carlton.
Yeah,
I think
they Gold Coast just put it out there and said, look, we're happy to get this done. We're just going to we just want to slide up a bit more in the draft order.
Carlton tried to put him over the barrel.
Yeah.
And Gold Coast didn't said nah.
Which is why, yeah, we'd love to see it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And even if they don't, say they don't get anything for him.
Yep.
And he ends up at Carlton. So you've lost a player you rate highly. I'm not so sold on it. But all of a sudden, it's like come round 12, managers aren't sitting there going, oh, yeah, mate, I'll just move you to West Coast. I'll move you to Port Adelaide. Yeah, shit, no worries. Easy.
It's going to happen, don't worry. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you got 18 years on your contract. Yeah, doesn't matter.
All of a sudden, you think, holy moly, Gold Coast have finally put a bit of a stick in the sand and said, okay, we have you, but we will do what's best for Gold Coast, not what's best for player. And I think that was a bit of a moment where you're like, great, love it. And you don't want to see that every time because there's sometimes good reasons why people want to go home.
Yes. But it's not his home. Yeah.
So not home. But I mean, good reasons why people want to move. You know, mental health and all that sort of stuff these days.
But it seemed like he just was done.
It was done. He seems cooked. Like he just, I've been here for 6, 7 years, whatever. Yeah,
probably. Well, I think not quite seven because seven's free agency and he wasn't a free agent.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just cooked. I've tried my guts out. I'm just running on empty. But Gold Coast said, okay, feel for you. Have this. You're not going. Deal's not good enough. And I liked it.
Well, yeah. And I think if you're Jack Martin, you should almost feel dirtier at Carlton after that trade period. If Gold Coast come to you and say, mate, this is what we were happy to do it.
Yeah.
We tried to get it done for this. It was basically like 50 cents in the dollar.
I mean, the main thing I don't like about trade period is how many journalists are working on it, you reckon?
Yeah, there'd be a fair few.
How many actually know what's going on inside the room?
Yeah, it depends. I'd say three.
I'd love, at the end of the day, Adrian Dodoro sits down and says, Guinea Beetson at Sydney simply didn't offer us pick 9 or pick 10. It's just...
That's
just made up. Yeah. It was never offered. Or Sydney to go, Essendon wanted too much. This is exactly what we put on the table.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's what Gold Coast came out and did at the end. They're like, this is the deal we put to them. So they didn't take it. It's on them. Like, this is not us. We weren't not trying to move Jack Martin. Yeah. We were happy to do it.
But
we
offered this and thought, they'll relent and here you go.
Yeah.
No, enjoyed it. Loved it. And I'm half rooting for the Gold Coast next year. I might buy a Gold Coast membership.
Oh, really?
I reckon.
Can we put this out there? We'll both buy memberships if they change the jumper.
Well, I'll probably get one before that. Do you reckon they'll change the jumper? Is that going? Nah.
I don't think it's on their radar, but I really think it should be.
I reckon I might get a Gold Coast membership. Okay. I was Fremantle this year.
Okay, now you want to be Gold Coast?
Yeah.
I was a Gold Coast member in this first year.
I reckon I'll go Gold Coast. I hope Dewey does well. Like, really, really hope he does well.
I really think they'll come on quicker than people think. Like, people don't... I think there's an element of people who don't understand the talent they have coming into the third, fourth year on the list. Back about the time when you start to blossom.
Like, yeah.
I think those guys will just...
But even like the move of Ben King re-signing.
Yeah.
Huge.
Big move.
Paid overs, but you've got money because you're not paying anyone. Yeah.
Is it overs when St Kilda probably would have paid him the same to come next year?
Like, but also then Lukosius goes, oh, right, well, he's...
Yeah, he signed.
Rankine goes, we doing this? Like, you get a bit of that sort of love and, a bit of a brotherhood happening, which is great. And again, this year they'll go bing, bing on the drafts. I just hope it works.
Someone could come in. Surely the AFL could come in and go, oh, what, your great-great-grandfather was Italian? Oh, multicultural ambassador. You're in. We got you. You'll get you an extra 100K every year.
In a huge move, they've just re-signed Lukosius because we're not actually sure where Lukosius comes from, but it doesn't sound like it's Aussie.
No,
he's an AFL ambassador for the next 15 years of his life. His kids have private education at the best school on the Gold Coast, extending down to his great family.
We got him hooked up.
Yeah.
Who's next on your list?
Well, so I've done Adelaide, Eagles, and I agree with you on the Dogs. But could I flip it and say one I reckon going to battle?
Yeah.
Brisbane Lions.
You reckon?
Yep.
to an easier draw this year.
They beat the good team, so it's hard to argue that point. Yep. I get that they've picked up their players that they believed with that they believe what they've got is it.
Yep.
They've got a good... I just reckon that they needed a key forward.
Someone's driving past your house with like a boombox or something.
Yeah, I reckon they might be like year 12 students. Yeah, they are. They've got writing on their shirts.
Oh, God.
Hale College is at the end of the street, so might be a couple of Hale students.
Might get toilet papered tonight, mate. Front yard.
Better than me riding on a tram with the St. Kevin's boys yelling out sexist remarks to females.
You got slandered.
I got... yeah, that was really weird. On an article, just for those playing at home, on an article, a girl I meant to write Xavier College... We're talking about this sexist song over Easter that they were singing, whatever. I'd even chant or something. This girl accidentally wrote Xavier Ellis is a sexist and stuff, and he treats women disrespectfully, meaning to write Xavier College. Well, didn't pick up on the comment till after it had gone gangbusters online. Oh, Christ. Yeah, it's no good. Brisbane Lions, I don't understand what they're doing with the forwards.
Yeah.
Eric Hipwood. Charlie I think Cameron. Could be something, but Eric Hipwood plays quiet for 2 weeks. Eric Hipwood kicks
five,
six. Eric Hipwood's quiet for a month. Eric Hipwood's kicks six. You're like, what the bloody hell?
Yeah,
I just reckon that they should have been well and truly up to their ears in the Joe Danaher stakes.
Yeah,
I've said it 100 times. Yeah. If you go down their forward line. Well, they had worked. Whatever they were doing in terms of a team worked.
Yep.
Confidence, but you start from scratch. I just worry that they didn't try and improve enough to rise. And they've proven they had a great year finishing second.
Yep.
But I just reckon that everyone gets better. I just don't know whether – I reckon their forward line might go down and that might be an issue.
Yeah. I mean, you showed now that if there's a genuine lockdown small forward eater – Charlie Cameron can struggle. I mean, most of the time, they'll clear out the 50 and just let Charlie run rings around people.
He's the best. He's the best version of Charlie Cameron when he's the third forward, I think personally, because there's the crumbing element.
Yeah. Okay.
When he's the lead up, what happens if Dylan Grimes just takes the lead up away?
Yeah. Then you're struggling.
You're not crumbing off any of them.
Yeah.
Because Eric Hipwood's not wrestling. He's just lead up, and if it's not going over his head, it's going over his head.
Yeah. Dan McStay's. I mean, you know, he's solid, but he's a solid
citizen, but he's probably not a premiership center forward, is he really? Oh, yeah, I just think that if they just got a gorilla there where Joe could wrestle, bring it to ground, that's another element to his game. He's a gun. All Australian this year, whatever, like gun. But I just reckon when he's the third wheel, all of a sudden, it is just reliable. And he's reliable this year. Been reliable, but I just reckon a consistent Eddie Betsy sort of.
Yeah.
And Eddie Betts sort of small. You know, Eddie Betts goes out, you're like, oh, bloody Ed's going to kick 60 goals this year. I just don't reckon we're in that category yet.
Because you don't know what the opposition's going to throw at him.
Yeah, Tex Walker was firing in that year, in those years. Jenkins was kicking goals.
Yeah, well, that was that prelim final where Charlie Cameron won it for him. Yeah. He kicked four and he was up. He was starting on the back of the square.
Yeah,
and he
sent a doing all sorts of tricks like that.
Yeah, yeah, he has a lot in his arsenal. I know what you mean. Like if he gets freed up a little bit more.
Yeah, just a fraction more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas you go now, Brisbane forward line, McCluggage was a good asset kicking over 20 this year.
Yes.
Off playing half forward wing mid.
Yep.
But you just go, gee whiz, if you throw another forward in there that can kick 50 for us to compete. And I'm talking top four, grand finals, that sort of stuff. I just don't reckon they made that improvement.
No, probably not. It's a hard spot to improve on.
Oh, but Joe Danaher was on the market.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go in that direction.
Yeah, he's heading north already.
Yeah.
You just want to go where someone doesn't recognise you. Don't worry. Come to Brisbane. Yeah. Less people anyway. There's less chance.
They'll think you're some big as a lock in rugby union. What are the
second row, yeah.
Whatever they are.
Which is a lock, yeah.
I don't know, whatever that. You know, you see the Rugby Union World Cups on at the moment. There's a 6'6" giant out there. Like, I don't even know what you do, but Joe, that can be you. Just blend in.
Just say you're one of them. Last one is another selfish one, and it's Fremantle. Life after Ross. Genuine excitement.
I can sort of see it.
Dual Brownlow winner running around now.
Yeah, great. Love watching Fife.
Yeah.
I've already declared I was a member, mate.
Yeah, true.
I've got more right than you being a supporter.
I'm going to jump back on.
Are you?
Yeah, I think It's very easy to get a ticket to individual games this year. It might just be one of those social memberships.
If I get a Gold Coast,
I'll get a Freo.
Will you get a Freo?
Yeah, I'll get a Freo if you get a Gold Coast. Right, deal.
Deal. By round one, we have to have our memberships.
Yeah, okay. But I don't know yet. The concern is speed. They lost their two quick players.
Yeah, and skill.
Yes, well, your skill's always... I think that's always a concern for Freo.
Yeah, hopefully... Do you know what my concern is with Freo now? Mm-hmm. I reckon Freo full strength straight this year. They beat GWS at... Was it Canberra or...
Oh, yeah, in Canberra.
Yep.
Yeah.
They beat Collingwood at the G.
Yep.
My concern is... I don't know whether they're unlucky with injuries...
Or it's a...
Or that's just the players that they've got these days. Like... Hogan's now got two or three navicularies.
Two, yeah, at least two.
At least, minimum two.
Yeah.
You're like, well, it's not, is it unlucky or is it you've actually got to play with foot issues?
Yeah, and it's always going to have foot issues.
Alex Pearce could be, should have been all Australian. If you played the whole season, he would have been Australian.
Yep.
He broke his ankle rolling, kicking at football.
Yeah, he did nothing and then all of a sudden he came off and had a break.
Bang, gone. And you think, gee whiz, that's been... Three seasons of inconsistency.
At least two broken legs.
But prior, you're like, gee whiz, is that... If you get 22 games at Alex Pearce, will you be surprised?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would.
You'd be shocked, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Jesse Hogan, 22 games?
Yeah.
Shocked. I just think now you... And I hope for Freo.
Stephen Hill quad every second time he runs out.
That's
there.
Now just a consistency.
Yeah.
I just think rather than putting on the paper look at Fremantle's best 22...
Mm.
You've almost got to go, multiple long patches of time.
Yeah.
We aren't going to have a full forward. We're probably not going to have a centre-half back, full back or whatever.
We just need Matt Taberner's another one.
Taberner's another one.
Plays a couple of massive games and then does something.
Keeps getting stress fractures or whatever it is. Which is a shame, and hopefully it changes.
Yeah.
You've got to get some...
They need a bit of luck.
Yeah, but it's to say, is it unlucky or is it just those players? Yeah.
They need a few more to come through then and replace those players.
And do you reckon they've nailed on Chera and Brayshaw?
Brayshaw I do.
As an A grader or a 150 life member?
As a 200 game.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he'll but also not going to tear a game apart, but be a reliable 200
game. Good call.
Chera still out on. I mean, a lot of people say, why don't they put him in the midfield? And then another part of your brain thinks, well, why haven't they put him in the midfield? Maybe it's not like we don't want you in the midfield. Maybe it's not...
You're not good enough to be in the midfield.
Yeah, and you're not... Maybe your running capacity is not up to the full...
Yeah, a little bit like Rayner.
Yeah,
like... Maybe. It's just a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but they've got another two picks in the top 10 this year.
Yeah.
They've got two guys who... Well, one who was really raw potential-wise and has done some pretty nice things, had a few concussion issues in his first year, hasn't played yet. Played in a waffle, their first-round pick. Sam Sturt. One of those guys who played cricket his whole junior career and then ended up a first round pick. There's things to like.
Was Sam Sturt the player that Ross Lyon was against drafting?
No, there weren't too many that Ross was against drafting who actually came into the club.
Who was drafted?
Oh, okay. No, there were discussions about whether Ross wanted Griffin Logue.
No. There was something about who was drafted around Sturt, after Sturt.
This was last year.
Yeah. Did Port Adelaide pick up Rosie after?
No, Port were on the
board. Or Dersma.
No, Port's all the Port's picks were on the board before they... Well, you look it up now.
What number do you think he was?
So he was like 17. 17. Oh, no, sorry. Dersma was the next one.
Dersma was the next one.
Dersma was the next one.
Right, so we've just looked at it.
And then Liam Stocker, who can't give up pick 3-4.
Well, I'm of the belief that maybe that was a bit of an upset.
Yeah, okay.
That Dersma was not selected the pick after.
Running machine. The arrow man himself.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Anyway, that's a real...
No, I mean,
that's a real suck it and see with Sam Sturt.
If you get full of players, who's going to play your wings?
Well, I don't know. That's what they're talking about. Is maybe they push Aish up the ground, let him be on a wing, and Blake Akers are the two blokes they brought in.
It's a big downgrade, isn't it?
Yeah.
As wingers. And I think that Langdon was not an A-grade, but in terms of wingers.
Yeah, he could have planned that wing.
A high-end winger.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there was too many more tricks to it, but a high-end winger that could run, didn't kick it well, but got to the stage of playing some really good football.
Yeah.
Brad Hill, one of the best wingmen in the competition.
Yeah.
Gee, that's a big downgrade, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a considerable downgrade. They're going to need some blokes to really come on in the middle if they're going to make
it. I hope so. Hopefully, Chera maybe can run amok on a wing or who knows.
Don't know.
I am excited by Freo.
I'm just excited about having Justin Longmuir as a coach and potentially seeing a new style because they are the team that I'll watch every week because they're my team and I just want them to see a bit more attractive football.
Mm.
Fingers crossed. So we might hit up one more episode before the draft.
Yep.
And that might be us for the year. So bit of a shout out to everyone who's listened on and listened to this point of the episode. It's been a long one. Thanks to everyone who's listened in for the whole year. We really enjoyed doing it and enjoyed seeing the reaction too from all of you out there. Make sure to hit us up still. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. Tell your friends to get on board for next season. And hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Hardball Gets AFL. It's been the Hardball Gets AFL show. We'll see you next time.